Hey everybody, welcome to the Pivils Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
I'm Amy.
We are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Opening off the show there, that was Beauty Killed the Beast with their song Make a Sound. Give them a check on Facebook. While you're on Facebook, give us a like, facebook.com/PivilsPodcast. We're also on Twitter. You can follow at PivilsPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
And I am at RealAmyD.
And we are also on Instagram. Just search PivilsPod. And of course, check out the website, PivilsPodcast.com. Lots of great CFL content going up there all the time. All the Rider stuff that you need to know, go to PivilsPodcast.com. Pivils Podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their half-price drinks during happy hour from 2 to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, and also their summer blizzard menu, and it's like plus 30 outside, so I think a little blizzard run is kind of a must right after this.
Yeah. Where do you think I'm going?
Sounds like a plan to me. I need ice cream. Why are we even doing a show? Let's just go now.
Okay, thanks for listening. We're out of here.
Actually, next week we're going to do a blizzard blitz, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Think of questions if you want us that you want us to talk about the Riders. It could be about literally anything. We'll answer anything. We're going to sit there and eat a blizzard and answer questions. It'll be great. Blizzard Blitz, the first one of the season, I guess. We did some preseason, but this is the first one of the...
We'll call those ones training camp.
Yeah, yeah. Off-season ones. Yeah. We're the real deal. So, Blizzard Blitz coming next week. Coming up on this week's show, we'll have the opening kickoff. We're going to recap the Riders' loss to Edmonton in the preseason. We're also going to recap the latest Rider news. I have a rant. We're going to have a Would You Rather. And we're going to preview the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Ottawa Red Blacks, see what they did in the offseason, and kind of give them an overall grade. And if I were to grade Winnipeg right now, I don't know. I don't think I'd give them a letter grade.
I'd 77?
Give them I'd give them a number grade, somewhere around 70.
70?
Yeah. Somewhere around 70, but that's a little bit
later. You'd give them 70, I'd give them a letter K.
That's coming up a little bit later on. Right now, time for the opening kickoff. So preseason football, it was preseason football. But football is back, everybody. Riders losing to Edmonton 35-12. In a game that honestly I thought the score didn't really show indicative of the game itself, but it was a game that the Riders didn't deserve to win, and they definitely didn't.
I think it was very indicative that if you put the Eskimo starters against our scrubs, that's probably going to happen to us. Riley showed why he is who he is, and with that batch of receivers around him, they're going to be good, but I can't wait till the lights are on for real.
I gotta say, I was really impressed considering who they lost in the receiving core with Brandon Zylstra and Adarius Bowman. I mean, again, they were going up against our third unit, but they didn't look out of place at all.
Bringing over Jerron Kreiner from Ottawa definitely helps. Duke Williams, and obviously last week's Engaging with the Enemy, one of the stars of the league, Darrell Walker. Like they're not hurting for receivers at all.
And even Kenny Stafford was productive too, and he's had a few rough seasons behind him, so. It was nice seeing him back, catching balls.
So, I want to talk about the first drive, two drives of the game. So, obviously, it was Mike Riley against the second, at best, string defense. A lot of twos, a lot of threes. Penalties. That was the story of that first drive. There was five penalties. Obviously, if you're going to give the most outstanding player all that kind of field, he's going to score. And that's exactly what happened. A lot of these, and it was a lot of American players, new to the CFL, couple offsides. Is that the most frustrating part of it? It's the fact that maybe they have to get used to the 1 yard line of scrimmage neutral zone, and that, come on guys, like you're trying to, this is a job interview, like you can't be doing stuff like that. What's your take on that first drive and the penalties?
I think this is really what we've come to expect over the years in preseason game number one, especially when it's an away game and we take none of our starters. I mean, what else are you going to expect from 11 of 12 people who have never played a down in the CFL before? They're going to make mistakes. A lot of them were rookie mistakes. Some of them were, you know, the roughing the passer type things. I'll never fault a guy in preseason for trying too hard, and that's what those usually are. I have no issues with it. They'll weed that stuff out as camp goes along.
And also not helping matters at all, this was not only the first preseason game, it was first weekend. A lot of these guys definitely were not up to snuff with what's going on around them, and you could tell. But yeah, like when you leave that much veteran talent at home, who are the rookies going to follow? They're going to follow the guy beside them, and if the guy beside them doesn't know the rules, well, they're all screwed.
And we saw it with that play by Chris Lyles on the second touchdown. Even the veterans weren't too sure what they were doing against Mike Riley in that vaunted offense.
And that was a play that really bothered me. I don't mind if you're playing press man, the guy makes a great catch, great throw from the quarterback, and he just beats you. That happens. That's football. Like that's a good players making good plays. But he didn't even try to jam his receiver at the line. He was taking his steps to the left. The receiver just saw what he was doing and just kept going straight. Didn't get jammed, and it's like, you have a 5-yard zone where you can actually jam the receiver in the CFL. And you have to do that, especially with the waggle, especially when you can't even touch the guy or breathe on his neck down the field because that's a penalty. You got to do something there, and he was already 5 yards beat, 10 yards into the route. It was like, to me, that was just... And this is a guy that is in his second year, and he showed okay last year. Definitely lots of room for improvement. And that's something that as a second-year player, you'd think he would know. Evidently not.
It reminded me a lot of, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head right now, but the effort on, there was a play, and it was against Edmonton, no less, where the guy dodged out of the way of the tackle.
Junior.
Yeah, thank you. I knew as soon as the name was said, I would remember.
I was gonna bring him up if you didn't.
Yeah, it reminded me of just the effort level. It just didn't seem there. And you said it before, this is a job interview. If you don't give your best, why is Chris Lyles still at training camp? And we saw Sam Williams on his way home. I mean,
unfortunately, it's easy to play armchair GM sometimes. We a guy makes a play like that. Like I used to, when Murtaugh did that, I was here, and then I lean over and I go, if I'm O'Day, I'm going downstairs and I'm telling him to pack his bags right now.
Oh yeah,
was he cut?
No, he lasted the season.
Around,
yeah. He lasted the season. I don't know how
bad we were.
No, he lasted the season and he got cut. I'm like, well, finally. But so obviously it's not that simple. I'm guessing Williams is showing more in camp or something. Did I say that backwards?
Lyles
is showing more in camp than Williams was, but I don't know. Yeah, that's for guys with higher pay grades than we do to figure out.
There's a reason we do a fan podcast, not make actual decisions.
Well, let's be honest. There's only one spot available in that secondary right now, and that's at the boundary cornerback. And Nick Marshall actually looked like he could be the guy that takes that spot. Former quarterback of the Auburn Tigers. Switched to defensive back he's so athletic. And this is one of those Chris Jones kind of guys where, you know, he's an athletic guy. I'll put him wherever and I'll make him a star. And hopefully that's what happens with him. Had an interception, high point of the ball, really nice. He got beat on another play. But I think if you're playing man and you're going to play aggressive, that's obviously going to happen from time to time. But if you're going to make plays and get turnovers.
I think that's going to be the hallmark of this Chris Jones secondary. There's going to be a lot of ball hawking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be scary at times. Because unfortunately, if you're going for the ball, that probably means there's a guy behind you. So you better get the ball. And so we might have a few heart attacks this year.
And you mentioned Nick Marshall. One thing I wanted to point out today at training camp, you said it before, he was a quarterback at Auburn. He was practicing with the quarterbacks at points during camp today. So that might be another reason to keep him around. Not that you expect him to jump in at any point, but he's a fourth arm in case of crazy emergencies, and he looked pretty good, all things considered, for his first taste of CFL ball.
Now, I just want to stick around with defensive backs just a little bit more here, and I think the best defensive back of the game was Daron Carter. A couple big hits. The question about him last year when he was that first game where he played cornerback against Calgary when he had his pick six was, is he going to be physical? And he cut Jerome Messam out at the knees in that game, but the question was still there. Is he going to get in there and try and pop somebody? Especially in preseason. Well, he did that twice. Made two big tackles, stripped a receiver of the ball before he could finish the catch, making it incomplete. Huge play. This is our sixth defensive back, 100%. And at times, he'll be the fifth.
And I was not sold on that last year. I love it now. He belongs there. He looks like he actually fits in as a defensive back.
And for a guy that chirps as much as he does, he fits in so well there too, right?
Yeah, I want to see him just smack talk all game long from both sides of the ball. It's going to be fantastic to watch him play.
It's going to be great, but I got to, I guess, after the game or during the game, a friend of the show, Derek Taylor, was commenting on how good Naaman Roosevelt's catch was in midseason form and how he's going to be probably the leading receiver for the Riders, and we actually picked that.
Can I just stop you for 1 second? Yeah. That midseason form thing in preseason? Yeah. Oh, man, does that bug me. I should change my rant because, oh, he's in midseason form. No, he's not, okay? Like,
just made a good catch.
He's in football form, okay? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Derek Taylor.
But yeah, so Duran, which led to Farhan jumping in about, well, who's more important to a team, a guy who can play both ways, or your best receiver. And Derek obviously said Naaman, and Duran took exception to it. So I want to ask you guys that question. Do you want your receiver, or do you want a guy that can play both ways, even though you won't be able to play the full game both ways?
See, that's tough because it's not just you're not just looking at, you know, a guy who plays both ways versus a star receiver. You're looking at a star receiver who plays both ways, but comes with a lot of baggage. And we've seen that. We've seen the penalties. We've seen the off-field stuff versus the quiet, you know, veteran leader. But I would still go Duran Carter. He gives you so much flexibility. And football is entertainment, and he is pure entertainment. So if I had to pick between the two, if I had to pick one guy right now, assuming they're both gone next year, just for this year, Duran Carter, 100%.
I have a tough time with this because Naaman Roosevelt is, I think he's the most underrated superstar in this league.
Agreed.
No, you got told it was Kevin Glenn.
That was for my friend Travis. We'll let Travis have that. Duran Carter is a superstar. There's no doubt both of them are superstars. And I agree with Steve that with the baggage and everything, it's, you know, there's that risk-reward factor with Duran Carter, but just straight up, who's more valuable? Duran Carter, I guess. Because he still put up just as many yards as Naaman Roosevelt. Him, Kari Grant, and Roosevelt were all within 9 yards of each other last year, 12 yards, whatever it was.
But if you total up all of Duran's time on defense, you're looking at two, maybe 2.5 games. So if he's going to play all season, I hope he gets 1,000 yards. Naaman Roosevelt is going to be our leading receiver this year.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm looking at right now. Like, I understand, like, I love Duran too, but I think from a franchise perspective, for everything, I'd pick Naaman over Duran, and that's not going to be the popular pick, I guarantee you.
There's no wrong answer.
Can we take both?
Yeah, we do got both. We got both. Like, right. Who cares?
Perfect.
What a tough argument to have, right? Just a tough problem. We got to pick between two all-stars and which one we like better.
Now, let's move on a little bit here. Let's talk about the standouts. So I mentioned Duran Carter. We know what he's going to bring, but just seeing that, especially in preseason where a veteran like that really doesn't have to give that kind of effort. You know he's making the team. He's going to be our 1A, 1B receiver. Like, but still, that was nice to see him stand out like that. Nick Marshall. Who else did you guys see that stood out in this game?
I liked Cam Judge. After last year and his injuries and whatever that Twitter rant was at midseason or end of season last year, I was worried about where his headspace was, but it looked like he's ready to play.
He looked locked in.
I can't remember who he popped coming across there, but he got him good. Like, it was like a Goldberg style tackle. And I think he, as everyone's putting Hurl in that Canadian linebacker spot, I could see Hurl backing up Judge.
Yeah, after this last weekend, absolutely. Judge definitely earned his spot. He was near the top of my list of who looked good. I'm gonna go a little off the board and say Taron Vaughn. Offensive tackle.
Projected starting left tackle.
Only because we really didn't hear his name, and he didn't look out of place up against the number ones from Edmonton.
The starting O-line looked pretty good.
I mean, if you're going to... That's the one concern that I really had going into this game was Canadian linebacker, offensive tackle. And I think both questions got answered fairly early in that game with Judge and Vaughn. So that's my standout.
I think what worries me about the offensive line is when injuries kick in, who's going to step in and where they're going to step in. It depends on where the injury is. But if the starters stay healthy, that's a good-looking line. And Vaughn played pretty well, and that was against the ones, and that was with backup quarterbacks who don't really know the system so well, that don't have that full game experience like our you know, Zach Kolaros and Brandon Bridge do, having a good quarterback behind them, even less worry.
Here's a question that I got coming out of that preseason game. Why were those two dressed if they weren't going to play?
I think it was good to have a guy like Zach Kolaros on the sidelines, because every time they showed him, his helmet was on, he was hearing the plays come in, and he seemed like he was engaged in the game, which is good for a guy coming to a brand new team. Bridge, I think, same kind of thing. Good to have you engaged in the game, and if it is an open competition at quarterback, which we all know is a lie, it's good to have them all there. And I think at quarterback, it's good to have everybody there, even if they're not playing. And it's weird that they were both dressed, even though they weren't going to play. But it's numbers don't count in preseason, so whatever, might as well.
I'll say this right now: if it was actually an open competition, they would have played. The fact that there was no snaps between either of them tells me the decision was made. Maybe in camp, I roll my eyes heavily at that, but it was made the moment that they traded for Zach Kolaros.
Oh yeah.
That and the fact that they could get him to re-sign a contract. If they couldn't get him to a contract, I think it could be different.
Now, the other quarterback kind of stood out a little bit, and this is a question from one of our listeners. Jeff, what did you guys think of VJ Daniels?
He looked good. My only concern is he was against Edmonton scrubs at that point, but he still looked a lot more poised than the now-departed Marquise Williams.
He looked a lot more confident.
He looked like he's spent some time in a professional system and actually seen professional time before.
He's still a young guy, too. He's only 27, so realistically, he still has another 10 years of football ahead of him. So, likely going to be our third stringer, I think, this year.
I think the next exhibition game will definitely... There'll be some equal snaps between him and Watford to see what they can do. And it's going to be Watford's... job to gain back after his performance this week.
What impressed me the most about BJ Daniels is he didn't look out of place, having only been here for a week. When did he signed just before camp, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
He didn't have time to read the playbook in the offseason. He had no preparation. He just came in to the Canadian game and, you know, yeah, it was against scrubs, but he didn't look half bad. You know, give him another couple of weeks to learn the system, learn the plays, learn the actual game, and I have no doubts he'll be our number three.
It reminds me a lot of because Marquise Williams came in late last year too, and they kept him around and cut guys like Bennett and the guys who couldn't show that they could play when the lights were on, and now that's happened to Marquise Williams. So yeah, I think Daniels is sticking around, and it's going to be between him and Watford.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing why we've kept him on our negotiation list for, what, 7 years?
If you wait for a guy that long, obviously you really see something in him. Yeah. And
several GMs have said, yeah, we want to keep him in our system. So they're going to do everything in their power to make sure he's the number three, as long as he doesn't crap the bed.
Now, any other disappointments in the game we want to bring up? I think we kind of covered it, I think.
I got one.
Sure.
Well, besides our entire defensive unit for the first two due drives, I was not at all impressed with the defensive line throughout that whole game. Now, obviously, we, again, like every other spot in the field, we had zero of our starters, but I was hoping to see something from a couple of the guys. We saw a few nice plays from Jeter, but beyond that, there was nothing that really stood out. No sacks, not a ton of pressure, and they had their running game ate us alive. That concerned me a little bit, only in that two of our defensive standouts are getting up there in age, in Hughes and Jefferson. So,
if I want to pick on one of the guys on the line, after everything we heard in training camp, that Mac Henry, his football IQ's up, he's coming like a beast, blah blah blah. He looked lost out there on some of those plays, and it was like, I hate to say, the same old Mac Henry. Like he just, I think he had like two penalties on that opening drive, three penalties.
Yeah, he had a couple penalties in the game. I think he was. I mean, he was the leader of that defense, the guy with the most experience playing that entire game.
Yeah.
So maybe he was trying to I guess, overcompensate for other players and just trying to do too much.
Oh, yeah, and I like him as a player. Like I said, I don't want to pick on the guy, but yeah, you could, after, oh yeah, Mac Henry's dialed in this year, and then just you see those penalties and you're just shaking your head. Like.
All right, let's move on here. One name really quick, player of the game.
Josh Stanford.
He looked good.
He answered the question of what do we do with Jake Hardy out?
Going Lothar. That kid can kick. I can't believe they let him kick from 53. What am I calling a kid? But from 53 yards.
Yeah, that's wasn't true. Wasn't it 55?
55.
Yeah, 55.
And he still had 10 yards on that kick. I know. So I know that was with a wind, but still, that was a hell of a kick. And, I mean, we all like Tyler Crepinia here, other than those two kicks at the beginning of the year last year. The kid's been money for us.
Yeah.
And I have zero concerns about a field goal when Crepinia goes on. But that leg on Lothar, that looked good, and his kickoffs were deep.
And he was punting good too. Like he can kick from all three phases, and we haven't had one of those in a long time.
Maybe that's one of those surprise cuts, and maybe he comes in cheaper than Tyler Crepinia, a little way to save a little bit of salary cap money there. Who knows? That'll be kind of an interesting thing. And I mean, Crepinia just got activated off the suspended list, so.
He was in the hot tub going, oh crap, guy went 4-for-4. Time to get out or and get on the field.
Or him down the middle, yeah. Too.
Or you cut Bartel because all Bartel does is punt, even though everyone likes that Aussie rule style he does. And you keep Lothar around to punt and back up kick.
I think from a punting perspective, I'd have to see a lot more from Lothar before...
Bartel was fantastic.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, Bartel's amazing. I love his style. I'm just saying, if you want a guy in case Crepinia goes down... He's the guy. At least you have one on your roster. Because what was it, 2 years ago that we had no kicker and no punter for him?
Yeah.
And we're scrambling?
I have a feeling that either Lothar or, in worst case scenario, Crepinia are going to get a paper cut injury right around the end of the second preseason game.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Spend
some time on the sixth game.
On the sixth game, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me either. All right, now finally, really quick, a grade of the game.
Hard to grade this one. It was preseason and we had our third stringers. I mean, F for boring.
Greg?
Yeah, I'll go a little higher with this C+. There's some potential there, but it was ugly.
I said C. It's a preseason game. When the backups are going against Edmonton's first stringers in that first quarter of the game, what do you expect is going to happen? They were down 14-0 right away to start the game. So, but again, I don't think the score, 35-12, really showed how close... I won't say it was a close game, but it wasn't a 35-12 game. The chances were there. The Riders ended up turning the ball over twice in Edmonton in scoring zones and at the end of the game as well, too, with turnover on downs. Just, it wasn't that bad. I don't think
in situations that you're not going to see them actually go for it in a regular season game.
Long story short, we're not worried about the Riders when they play Edmonton this year.
No. The real thing that we'll see is next Friday when we see the starters play against Calgary in the final preseason tune-up game. And that's when the first half, that's what we're going to see on the field for most of the year. And that'll be exciting to see. And a little couple moves the Riders made before. We mentioned a couple of cuts already. Marquise Williams, the quarterback. Sam Williams, defensive back. Also running back Josh McPherson. Zach Stacy looked pretty good. I'm eating a little bit of crow there. I still don't think... I mean, he's a two-game substitute for Marcus Thigpen. We didn't even talk about...
Oh, he looked great. Yeah,
he looked phenomenal. And you could also argue for him for player of the game because he just looked... The speed is still there. 32-year-old running back. That's, 30 years old is when the wall hits you. But the guy doesn't have much mileage on him. And, man, he looked good.
Well, I'm excited for the thunder and lightning we're going to have between him and Massam.
Oh, that's our running game is going to be strong this year.
It's going to be funny. You got the guy that can put his head down and rumble for a bunch, and then you got him who's just pure speed. Like,
and if you put them on the right side of the O-line, you got Travis Bond at right guard who's 6'8", 350, and you got Thaddeus Coleman who's 6'9", 350 as well, too. Like, those are some big guys. You throw an extra O-lineman out there, the sixth O-lineman, Blay Deck, or you get Spencer Moore out there blocking, too. Whoa. That's going to be hard to stop. That's a good...
It's going to be fun to watch.
Right? Like, I'm looking forward to that, especially when you get into, September, October, November. That'll be nice.
When was the last time we were excited for a running game?
You with Keith Thostin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My boy.
I was going to say Curry Sheets, but yes.
Can we interview Keith Thostin on this show?
You get him.
I will make that.
Yes, send the picture of the jersey. And like, hey, look, we bought a jersey.
And also the Riders cutting defensive lineman Justin Horton. Who? Exactly. Yeah. Defensive line, we already know who's making this team.
Burton says who? What?
Yeah. And activating from the suspended list, Tyler Crepinia, Spencer Moore, and Jordan Hughes, which we all knew they were going to be back anyway. That was just a little bit of roster juggling moves by the Riders.
Sorry, you mentioned Kropinian. Did you guys, and I think Greg was the one that pointed it out. Can we just comment on that tweet by Justin Pilardi going after Kropinian? Holy shit.
Says the guy who's out of the league right now.
Right? What was that about? Like, I mean, like, I'm like, is he serious or is he like
that
messing
was
around?
Serious.
I'm going to bring it up.
But what made me laugh the most, I don't think Kropinian is actually injured. I think this is one of those training camp moves, just like Spencer Moore, just like Jorgen Hoos, or Jorgen Hoos, our long snapper. Like, you're going to see things like that. It wasn't like he's, you know, torn a hammy or, you know, he's on the sixth game. He's resting up for the season, and Pilardi went off on him.
They could have gone to a friend's wedding or something, too. The suspended list is...
It's preseason.
Guys have other things going on, and when they're vets that you know are going to make the team, you just throw them on the suspended list, and it's fine.
Oh, here we go. Justin Pilardi, at Justin Pilardi. Why is this... Fella Kropinian still battling injuries. I could be wrong, but I don't recall the kicker position being very hard on the body. Saskatchewan Rough Riders, or at Saskatchewan Rough Riders, need to cut this guy and keep at Brett Lawther. He's hashtag tro strong, and his leg won't crap out on you like some hashtag CFL hashtag riders.
There's a couple of things I like about that. Number one, he went after the dude's employer, tagged the riders in this. And number two, he and Dan Clark will get mad at this one. He didn't tag to Kropinian in it.
Nobody tagged Lawther, though.
Right?
Maybe he's friends with the other guy.
You gonna go at a guy? Tag him in it. We learned that last
week. Rob Bagg is an Ontario guy. I expect you to go after Pilardi on this one.
No. I thought that was hilarious. I laughed in my chair for a good couple of minutes going,
I was like, what the
dude, you're not
is
even
this?
You're a backup bench warmer, not signed to a contract kicker. Get out of here.
Opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Feshin of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Let's move on here now. Team previews. We have Ottawa and Winnipeg to look after. Amy, which one should we do first?
Winnipeg.
All right.
So let's start
You'll with see. Who. You'll see. Let's start with who Winnipeg signed. Nick Dembski, good signing for them. Took him from us. We all kind of knew he was going back home. He's from, you know, went to school at the University of Manitoba. So Nick Dembski going to be a good player for them.
Also, sorry, I just realized you missed someone. Keenan LaFrance, also Winnipeg boy, also running back.
And he'll be a backup to Andrew Harris, and keeping that a Canadian position, important to have a guy with experience, and he's one of them there. Adam Big Hill, that one kind of came out of the blue, and that's a great signing for him.
We talk about this last week and I said dislike?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still rank that as one of the best moves of the offseason for any team.
Fantastic move. Defensive back Chandler Fenner from BC, kind of solidifying their defensive backs. They were a little worried about what they had there just at the end of the last year. Just didn't look that good. So he's hopefully going to be one of their, not hopefully for us anyway, but hopefully for them, going to be one of their starters. Defensive lineman Craig Rowe. I'm actually a big fan of Craig Rowe. I think he's a very good defensive player.
Just be careful with his celebrations.
I love that samurai celebration.
He can keep doing that, too. Yep. If it's going to cost him 15 yards, do it all the time, buddy. And, of course, the big move, Darian Durant.
The future.
Solid quarterbacking depth. I got to say, that's where they made the best move, picking up a solid backup quarterback. Because they had nobody behind
Dressler. Stick it to Rider fans. Oh. Great move by Winnipeg.
Oh, and signing a Dembski. Like, lots of Saskatchewan in there. They should definitely help him out. You know, get off that hump. Win the championship, I believe, is probably in their future.
And, of course, we got to talk about who they lost. And let's start with quarterback Darian Durant. And friend of the show, Darian Durant.
They also lost $70,000.
You can tell we're really upset about this.
Yeah. I think they lost a lot of their dignity and pride with that, too. So, obviously, Darian Durant retiring and screwing them over. Well, he's not the first player to ever take money and retire. So, everybody knows our feelings about that. Losing Travis Bond, obviously going to be our starting right guard, taking the Peter Dajkowski spot. Huge loss for them. Huge gain for us, so even better. Losing Sam Hurl, they're not too upset about that, especially now that they have Adam Big Hill. Julian Fili-Godino going to Ottawa, kind of a token receiver. I won't say he's a token receiver. I take that back. He's actually shown pretty well when given the shot.
I got to admit, if we weren't going to get Hardy, I wanted us to get JFG. because I thought he'd be solid Canadian depth.
He's never going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, but if he can give you 400 or 500 yards and a couple touchdowns, especially as kind of a rotational Canadian receiver, I think that's great. So that's a tough loss, and I mean, it's a Canadian loss too, so it's always bigger than what it usually is. Linebacker Kyle Knox going to Montreal, and also joining him in Montreal, Jamal Westerman made a boatload of money. Thank you to Kavis.
Boatload of money to not worry about playing in the playoffs.
Yep. So, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they're going to be tough to beat again this year. They were second in the West last year, and they could finish top three. They could be even top four, I guess. I don't know.
The top four in the West is going to be a dogfight this year.
I mean, if you look at the list of players that they lost, the only two that really stand out to me are Westerman and Bond. I mean, the rest are hit or miss. But in the flip side, they picked up Dembski, a quality Canadian receiver, Craig Rowe and Adam Big Hill. They made some good moves. They improved their roster. I think they're one of the only teams in the West outside of us who really did a solid job of that.
And actually, a note out of Bomber training camp, they are actually been shifting Dembski in at running back as well, similar to what they used to do at the University of Manitoba, where he was a star as a running back and like a slot receiver. So
you want to put the ball in your playmaker's hands, yeah. And he is a playmaker.
He can be, definitely.
When he gets the chance. And give him open space, that's a solid move, if you ask me.
All right, now move on here. Talk about the Ottawa Red Blacks!
I was waiting for that.
Start with who they signed. I like what they did on the defensive line. They went after Canadians. They were going to make one of those spot Canadians, and they signed three of them. Cameron Walker and Darryl Waad, both out of Toronto, and also Michael Claussen out of Calgary. Not huge, huge names, but still solid depth guys that you need. And if you're going to make one of those tackle positions Canadian,
maybe keep Zach Evans.
Well,
yeah.
Losses are gained, so
and I also guess this is a lot cheaper than signing Zach Evans.
I imagine so.
So they're obviously keeping that spot Canadian, and this is what they're doing to kind of replace Zach Evans. Also picking up, like we mentioned, JFG out of Winnipeg. AC Leonard going to be one of the defensive ends there. I hope they enjoy all his offside penalties. Good player.
Yep.
Just goes offside way too much. But when you're trying to time the jump, Odell Willis does it all the time too, but nobody seems to care because he's a good defensive end. So AC Leonard, good pickup for them. And also defensive back Lucius Pierrefeuille from BC. That's a good signing as well. Now they lost a couple big names. Obviously Zach Evans to us, Jake Hardy to us hurts them. Obviously doesn't help us now with his injury, but still a tough loss for them. Taylor Reed, linebacker, going to Toronto. That's a tough loss.
That is a big loss.
And also Jerron Kreiner, receiver, going to Edmonton. Edmonton needed receivers. Good pickup for them. Ottawa seems to just get receivers kind of at will, it seems like, lately.
And honestly, their receiving core is probably not going... I'm not saying they're not going to miss it, but when you've got guys like Spencer and Sinopoli and Ellingson, like they're fine. It'd be like us losing
Caleb Holly.
Yeah.
Now in the East, everybody has a shot except for Montreal.
You know, we keep saying that. I'm going to laugh when Montreal wins the cup.
Yeah, they're going to go like 11-7, and with Drew Willie at quarterback.
Come on, Pipkin. I want Pipkin in.
Oh, we didn't even talk about this. Josh Freeman retiring.
Oh!
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Oh, man. Nice guy when we talked to him at CFL Week. Very nice guy.
Very great
guy.
Soft-spoken.
Which surprised me because this is a former first-round NFL player coming in. You would think he would command that, like, attention. Like, he would command the room, be a strong leader, and be very, very outspoken. And maybe not brash by any means, but just a very strong speaker. Nothing like that. And we found out after, we didn't ask him specifically, but we did talk to him about meeting coaches, and he hadn't even met coaches yet, and that was his first time in Canada, and that was in late March, not too long before minicamp started. But he also didn't know what the waggle was, so his termination wasn't there. The guy obviously didn't put any kind of effort into learning the Canadian game. And retired 6 days into training camp.
Well, now his termination is there.
Well,
in walking papers. And well, and there was news came out, he didn't retire.
Well,
he was cut.
Yeah. It was one of those, you can't cut me, I retire. And it was, well, no, too bad we cut you. Like, it was...
You can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, like, it's... Kavis Reed is the gift that keeps on giving.
And we keep hearing, and I can't remember which media person said, you know, this, they made all this fuss, or this wasn't the guy. He was never supposed to be the guy.
Joey Alfieri.
He was just another. But this is a guy that came to CFL Week. This is a guy that
they marketed him.
Yeah, he was the guy that they were pushing as the guy.
Yep.
Whether it was publicly or not, they were making that obvious, and it was obvious from the start. It was not going to work.
If you look at CFL Week, the quarterbacks that every team sent for the TSN shoots was the guy that they were probably going to be the starter. Why? Because every time they put up those bumpers in the videos, it's the starting quarterback. And that's the reason why Kolaris was there and Bridge wasn't. The only exception to that was Toronto with Franklin. And that was interesting. I don't know why he was there, but yeah, Montreal sent Freeman for a reason. And Saskatchewan didn't send Bridge for a reason.
Josh Freeman, we hardly knew ye. Congratulations on your CFL career.
I was hoping for a Manziel versus Freeman game just to watch the internet explode.
And this Friday, that the Tie Cats preseason game is televised on TSN. And guess who's taking number two reps right now because Vernon Adams is hurt?
He's hurt every training camp.
He was going to be taking number two snaps before the week was out, regardless of what happened to Vernon Adams.
That was just I mean, not saying the injury's a charade, but...
No.
Johnny Manziel's there to be the number two and maybe the number one sooner rather than later.
The way they pursued him
is going to be short.
Are we going to get Picton versus Mazzoli? Heck, Crichton versus Heisman?
That'd be the first time ever. That would be cool. I really hope that kind of happens, but I don't think Picton will get in that early into a preseason game. Johnny Manziel is probably going to be playing a lot of the second quarter and probably into the third.
Pop's the guy who brought it up. I could see him go, put the kid in! Put the kid in!
Hope so.
Could be interesting.
It'd be nice.
Not many preseason games are
I might actually watch a Tie Cats Argos preseason game. This is the way this is going.
I don't
right
think
now.
I've watched another team's preseason game in 4 years.
My PVR is set. It's for Picton. I'm curious about Picton as well, too. But it's for Johnny Football. And whether you like him or you don't, people want to see him either succeed or fail. People want to see that happen. And if you've seen the pictures coming out of Hamilton's training camp, there are Manziel jerseys everywhere from fans. And it's Texas A&M jerseys, they're Browns jerseys, and a lot of Tie Cats Manziel jerseys. You can't tell me this is not good for the league.
Think about this. Next week, CFL preseason football will be played on SportsCenter in the States.
That's on.
That's all you need.
Played on SportsCenter here in Canada. Yeah.
It will be this one.
Oh yeah.
When was the last time you remember seeing a quarterback's stats tracked in preseason camp?
The backup stats. Yeah. They didn't even put the stats in for Mazzoli.
Oh, I love seeing all of the players come into Mazzoli's defense, going, "Where's his in?" And they're right.
Yeah.
This is still a backup, but this is Johnny Man. This is why we've heard nothing but Johnny Manziel for the last year, because he will bring news.
Well, Tillman had that quote, we don't understand why Mazzoli is not getting the respect. He's our starter. I'm like, and I tweeted right back. I'm like, because your head coach went out and said, Manziel is going to be the best quarterback in this league if he ever comes up here. And then you sign Manziel. Of course Mazzoli is not going to get any respect. Your head coach didn't give him any respect.
And that's actually good for Mazzoli, too, because now he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. And there's going to be no pressure on him. In a sense, there's going to be pressure on him to perform like there is every starting quarterback, but his leash is going to be a lot shorter with, you know, Johnny Football behind him. But that media attention isn't on Mazzoli. So maybe that takes a little bit of pressure off of him, and he can just go out there, focus on his job and compete, not worry about the cameras because they're all on Johnny Football on the sideline, and he can just go and perform. So maybe that's a good thing for Hamilton. It'll be interesting to see, and we're going to get our first taste of that this Friday, so that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I see your point, but I can see that going opposite, where it's going to be nothing but in his head, wondering why.
It very well could be.
The first time he messes up.
Oh, yeah, knows. If he comes out and throws an interception on the first drive, and in the regular season, those fans are going to be calling for Johnny Football.
He could go out and throw a perfect 10-play, 110-yard or 109-yard drive, and fans are still going to be calling for Johnny Football.
This could be the first year where another team's backup quarterback is going to be more popular than their starter besides the Riders.
Yeah, it usually is here. It is this year, too, with Brendan Bridge and Zach Laros. But, I can't wait for that.
Come on, I lived through Free Willy and Tino time.
All right. Now, I threw out a poll on our Twitter. We're recording tonight. what would you like us to hear, or what would you like us to talk about? And the options were the Ryder cuts, good players versus Edmonton, bad players versus Edmonton, and also Amy and Alex's dog, Penelope, who's actually just joined us at the table. Thanks, Penelope, for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And actually, to no surprise to me, Penelope won the poll. So,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, there she goes. Amy, you wanted to, we'll let you take care of this.
Okay.
Tell our listeners just a quick little story about Penelope.
Okay, so I tweeted about this, probably a couple weeks ago now. Penelope and I had just come home from the dog park, and she was filthy, because that's what she likes to do at the dog park, is get filthy from big dogs who have laid in the mud running over her. And then she rolls in the dirt. So anyway, filthy little white dog. And we come home and we're going for a little walk so she can pee before we come in the house, and I give her a bath. And the little three-year-old next door sees her and he's like, "What's that?" pointing at her little mud spots. And I said, "Oh, that's dirt." And he, "What's that?" I said, "That's dirt too." So then he stands with his feet about shoulder width apart and he kind of bends down and puts his hands on his knees and looks right into her butt. And he says, "What's that thing on her bum?" And I said, "Well, that's her butthole." And he goes, "Butthole?" And then runs up and down the sidewalk screaming "butthole" at the top of his little three-year-old lungs. And oh my God, if there's nothing funnier in the world, it is a three-year-old boy screaming "butthole."
I wish I would have saw that.
Butthole! Ah!
I don't know how many times I've heard this story, but I laugh every single time.
And then to make it better, him and his mom were coming, or they were coming home from school one day. So his mom wasn't there. He was with his aunt. They were coming home from school one day, and he was petting her, and he looks up at his mom while he's petting Penelope, and he goes, "Hey, she has a butthole." Right to his mom. I just put my hand right in my face and laughed. So anyway, since then, I've heard him. Like, I was walking past their window the other day, and I hear him going, "Butthole, butthole, butthole," to his sister.
It's one of those kids say the darndest things, and it's so cute, and it's so funny.
So Donna and Joe, you're welcome for teaching Zachary how to say butthole. And what a butthole is.
You didn't just, really, you didn't just point at your husband?
Yeah. It's not really a story about Penelope, but it's a great story.
Okay, back to some more serious stuff here.
Butthole, butthole.
Time now for a rant.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Alright, so my rant this week is not going to be on Penelope drowning me out by drinking her water here super, super loud. And for people a couple weeks ago that wanted to hear more of Penelope drinking water, there you go. My rant this week is about preseason and broadcasting games. Now, I know it's not a ratings bonanza by any means. Preseason games, they're a hard sell because the starters aren't in there very much. It's a sloppy, sloppy game like we just saw. Yeah, they have to show a couple here and there just to get interest back up in the league so you can sell your future product in the regular season. But it's 2018. There's so much technology out there. You can't tell me that you can't just get somebody to stream the game on TSN Go, on CFL.ca. Teams kind of, every once in a while, will stream their home preseason game, and you can go on their website and do that. That should be done, even if you charge a couple bucks for the game. You don't even have to bring in a guy like Glenn Suter and Rod Black or Chris Cuthbert to come in and call the game. Let the local guys do it. You don't even have to have people there. Remember when CBC was on strike in 2007?
Actually, I love those
and
games.
And that game, it was, I think it was a Ryder game, it was. In Edmonton.
Yeah. Was it Edmonton? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and there was no sound. They just had the microphones on the field. They just fed that audio through, and that's what came on the TV. That was phenomenal. It had that feel that you were at the game even though you were at home, and you got all the replays and everything, but the sound was there, and it was nice. I mean, I like listening to the analysts and everything, and a lot of people like nitpicking what the analysts say, but you gotta make streaming available. Like, this is just ridiculous that it's 2018, and I preseason games in the NFL are shown locally in all their markets, and they're also broadcast later all on NFL Network. Every single game is televised, and you can find them all. There's no way you can't do that in the CFL. Not with the amount of technology that there is, and there's money to be made there. I know it costs a lot to run a production truck and get a game, but you don't need all the graphics. You don't need, you know, 10 different camera angles. You need 3. Just give us a game. So, my rant, come on, let's see these games, because there's stuff that I want to see that we're not going to be able to, and for the Rider fans that can't make it to the home preseason game, they have to rely on the radio.
As a local color analyst for the Thunder, tooting my own horn on that one.
Cheap plug.
I don't say it's not hard to do it, and it's...
Well, you do it.
So if TSN Go wants to do it, I volunteer. I volunteer as tribute. I won't even ask to get paid. I'll gladly cover the games for you. But, no, you're right. Like, it's... Like, yeah, just hire someone local. Even pay Darren DuPont to do it. Like, obviously, they won't use Rod and Luke, because Rod and Luke have their own radio commitments.
Yep.
But, yeah, you could get someone local... Hire local TV to cover the game.
And college kids that are in the J school.
That too. Like, but like for, even for places that don't, like Edmonton, I guess Edmonton does, but I'm sure you can, yeah, like local college or tech schools, they'll gladly do it for you and throw it online.
And they'll do it for free. How many people want to be sports broadcasters?
Every
guy that I went to in broadcasting school, we were there, and they said, how many of you want to be sports broadcasters? Every single one of us put up our hands, and they said, get in line. Because unless you stand out, you're not getting it. There's so many that want that would kill for that job. Give them a shot. Who cares? You don't have to pay them. They'll do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it for free if a CFL asked me to do it. That'd be fun.
Hell, I do it for free for junior football.
Yeah. Like, and it's fun.
Yeah, and that's why I said, like, it's... Well, I don't understand why they can't. And, yeah, you just throw... I don't know if TSN would want to put their name on it. Because if you're, especially if you're giving it to so-called amateurs, but then throw it on CFL.ca.
Well,
yeah.
Even if you don't do it that way, tout it as an amateur broadcast and just say, you know, we're giving local guys the opportunity to do this.
They have interns. TSN has interns. Like, make them do it.
There's got to be a way to make it work, and make it work at a cost-effective manner. And that's what it comes down to. It's not worth it to them to send everybody out, but just do it on the cheap. Do it local.
Yeah, we're not. Hell, just want to see football.
Hell, it's 2018. They can call it from the booth in the TSN studio. Absolutely. All they need is the video feed.
Yeah, if they have all the cameras.
All you need to do is watch. Believe me, I learned the hard way the first time I did it. You don't watch the field. You watch the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you can. They can do it remotely from Toronto if they really wanted to.
I just see that there's no reason why they can't do that. There's enough technology out there. Got to make it happen.
Definitely.
All right, one more segment. Would you rather? Now, the last couple have been pretty interesting. We disagreed last week on the whole job thing. And
after my day today, I stand by my choice.
Just going to bring that up. So what do we have this week, Amy?
Would you rather lose all of your money and valuables or... all of the pictures you have ever taken?
I'm not a big picture guy. So I could lose all the pictures I've ever taken.
I don't have a lot of pictures from that aren't digital. So
but
I would
lose
be
all
too.
Them.
Yeah.
Every picture you've ever taken is now gone.
So you would have
every
no pictures
you've
of Penelope.
Taken of Penelope is gone.
Yeah, but I still have her though, right?
For 15 more years.
Yeah, then yeah.
You don't have any pictures of your grandma, yourself when you were a kid.
That he's taken. Here's the thing: that are we losing all pictures in general that we own or whatever,
or yes. just ones that we've taken?
No, all pictures that are.
Well, then it's easy for me. I'll keep the pictures all day.
All pictures that are relevant to you, so you don't have that picture of yourself.
That means.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures are more valuable to me than, and pictures and memories would be more valuable than money.
See, memories are always going to be your memories. You don't need pictures for memories.
But it's okay. I have my grandmother's engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
Would I rather have her engagement ring, something that I can wear every day and remember her by, or a photograph of her?
Okay, when you put it that way.
I would rather lose pitchers.
Yeah, I'm still on the lose pitcher side.
Yeah, because I got a few valuables of that nature that I wouldn't want to lose. Yeah. Damn.
Like my last memory of my great grandma, she called me a smartass because she didn't remember my name, and she was well into her 90s, and that's, I would think I was 7 years old or 8 years old, wherever I was, and she called me a smartass, and I'll always have that memory, and I can see all the pictures of her I want, but that's what sticks out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pictures are nice, don't get me wrong.
Right?
Like, some of the pictures that you have that you would never ever want to lose, like, that would be tough.
Yeah. That being said, I don't have much money or valuables.
So. Wait, with the money and valuables, do I also lose the debt?
No.
Oh, damn.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I gotta go pictures.
Oh. Same.
Hmm. We're in agreement.
We're all in agreement. Wow, interesting. Hmm. All right, well, what about you guys? What would you rather lose? Pictures or money? Let us know at PifflesPod. That's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Next week's show, we're going to preview the Riders vs. Stamps preseason game, which goes Friday, June the 8th at 7 p.m. at Mosaic Stadium. I'm excited because we're back in our stadium for football. We don't have to watch it on TV. This is going to be great, and I get to check out
new seats. We get to try out new seats.
I can throw stuff at both you guys.
Yeah, you moved closer to us, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I technically moved closer to them.
You guys are going to have to sit and listen to my 80 decibel horn all game.
That's why I purposely wanted seats behind you so I can throw stuff at you.
Yep.
I'm going to, too. I hate those things.
It's our job to bring the noise. I will do that all game on defense.
We'll also talk about the latest Rider news in the opening kickoff. Talk about probably a lot of roster moves I think are going to be coming before that game.
Probably.
And we'll see who makes it to that game, who doesn't. We'll talk about that. And we have one team preview left, and we've been kind of doing it all the time as this is a Rider fan show. But it is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, so we'll just take one last quick look at everything that's gone on in the offseason and give our overall grade of what the team has done to improve since 2017. Check out PifflesPodcast.com where you can find the latest Riders and other CFL content like Tuesday Takes. CFL slants are going up there. Steve, you had your power rankings.
It was tough.
Three to eight was everybody else. And then Montreal down at 9.
I contemplating putting a few teams ahead of Montreal.
I still think Halifax should have slipped in there before Montreal.
So lots of good stuff up on there. Give us a follow on Twitter as well. That's the best place to reach us, at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamod.
Me at Greg on Sports.
Please keep that in there.
And I am at Real Amy Dean.
Check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram, just search PifflesPod, and check out that website, as I said. And also on the website, the fan contest. Over $2,500 in prizes that we're giving away this year. We want fans from everywhere. Tell us what made you a Rider fan. How long have you been watching games? Who's your favorite player of all time? What's your favorite Rider possession? And everything like that, we want to know all about it. We're going to be drawing winners pretty soon here. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have our first winners. So the best way, and this is a contest that's going to go on all year. So check that out on the website. All the information is there. It's in the Piffles Fan Contest tab on the website. Enter in now, because the sooner you enter in, the less people you have to fight for a prize at the end of the year. So your best chance of winning is to get in now. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive. And a special thank you to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. Also to Tallgrass Apparel, Cypress Hills Destination Area, and Coney Island Poutine Cafe for their support to make this show possible. Thanks for listening. We're going to leave you with some more Beauty Killed the Beast. Check them out on Facebook. This is Hometown.